Internet loves. Welcome. Now, this is a good time to call in. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. And the county executive of Erie County yesterday announced that, hey, we're going to set up a portal so people can log in and figure out whether they're an essential worker or not. And I'm sorry, but if you're an essential worker, I'm pretty sure you know you are an essential worker. if you're a physician, a nurse, you're an essential worker. Firefighter, essential worker. Police officer, essential worker. Radio talk show idiots, essential workers. Because somebody's got to disseminate the information. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So what were and are your most vivid memories of the storm which hit us just about 1 year ago? And what should everybody in charge have learned based on that storm? Because it was one hell of a tragic storm. An unstoppable force of nature. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. As I've said earlier, you have two reactions. There's the reaction that happens right after something like that, and then there's the reaction that happens after you've had a chance to contemplate and consider everything that happened and how things might have been done differently. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Jay in Kenmore. Jay, you are on. Hello.
Tom, how are you?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? You know I got a lot of love for you, and I love hearing you on the radio.
Well, I appreciate that. It's Friday, and it's been a very, very fast-moving week, sir.
Oh, I hear you. Well, I don't have much to say about, you know, essential workers or anything, but, I mean, I think everyone knows roughly kind of my story. I don't think you could explain to, I mean, Buffalonians we're hard-headed. So, I mean, even in my case, like, you know, I knew the storm was coming, and, I mean, I went out, you know, to try to help a friend, and didn't make it all the way, but, you know, things turned out all right for me, but it's just sad to hear that it didn't turn out so great for other people. But, I mean, to try to put it into perspective, I mean, you really can't have people understand how wicked of a storm that we had, you know, until you were in it. You know, I've told my story to a whole bunch of people, and they say, I've driven through whiteouts. Me too, plenty of them, but not a two-day whiteout experience.
No, this is Jay Withy, who saved 24 lives during the blizzard of 22. And the whole thing, I mean, the story is really quite amazing because he's the guy who broke into a local school and having secured shelter for himself, he then went out and brought people from stranded cars with him into the building and made sure to leave a note afterward saying, and he was nicknamed Blizzard Jay. Now, before we get into your amazing story, Jay, as you know, and I was just thinking about you this morning, have you heard anything from the Carnegie Hero Award people at all regarding whether or not, have you heard anything from them?
I have, yep. I got some phone calls, and, you know, they reached out to, I know some of the people that I gave them they asked for some contact information, and they reached out, and they've talked to him. So just sitting and waiting.
So there is did they give you any approximate date when they might have news for you one way or the other?
They haven't yet. They just said that they will be in touch, and I can't thank you enough for nominating me. You know, I'm very touched by it.
Well, a whole bunch of people nominated you because of what you did, and I figured that if we deluge the and to be a Carnegie hero, you have to put your own life at risk to help people you don't even know. And Jay Withy did that several dozen occasions during the blizzard. When you think back on everything you did, and I mean what you did was so above and beyond the call. That the Cheektowaga police chief at the time, Brian Gould, who just had his retirement party last Friday, he put out the call. Hey, does anybody know who this is? He's not in trouble, but we want to recognize him for the great work that he did. Looking back on it, what do you remember most out of that situation?
Oh, man, I don't know where to start. You know, I can't give a big enough shout-out to the Cheektowaga police. I mean, they stayed on the line. You know, they made sure they called back, double-checked everything. What I can remember most is just, you know, once people got the safety on how, you know, Buffalo isn't just a place to live. It's a lifestyle. You know, once you got to talking to people and, you know, I feel like we're moving, but we're not moving in the right direction. And I feel like we are in some ways and we aren't in some ways. And, you know, when people ask me, you know, is there politicians to blame? I can't say. I don't know. But what I can tell you is I think we have to look inward. I mean, as you know, I was turned down. You know, no shame to the people that turned me away. You know, I was turned away by 15 houses and even after offering money. But, you know, I think we have to look inward and be a little more loving as Buffalonians. And you know, yes, equipment would have helped. And, yes, you know, there could have been warming stations and stuff like that. But at the same time, people were using this storm for personal and financial gain, which is utterly shameful. You know, we have over 40 people that died during the storm. So, I mean, how do you live with yourself knowing you got, any kind of gain financially or personal gain, you know, when there's people that lost their lives?
Because what Jay is talking about, and this is Jay Withey, who saved 24 souls from the blizzard from stranded cars. And our death toll was roughly 50 people from the blizzard of 22. Had it not been for Jay, it would have been more like 75 as a death toll. But Jay was basically a one-man a salvation crew. He and some friends eventually, or a friend, were able to do some amazing work. And you know, the thing is, and let's get back to why you were out there to begin with, because I know that you came in for some criticism from some people, despite your heroism. Everybody, you know, everybody's got to have a negative opinion sometime, but what was he doing out there to begin with? Is there anything that Mark Poloncarz or Byron Brown or the supervisor of Cheektowaga could have said or done to have prevented you from going out to try to help your friend? Because that's just the kind of guy you are.
I honestly don't think anyone could have told me anything that would have made me not go, without knowing how bad it was going to be. I don't think you could describe to someone how bad it actually turned out to be. I knew days in advance the storm was coming, just like most of the people in Buffalo were. Like I said, us Buffaloians were hard-headed, and, you know, everyone tells me, oh, I've driven through a whiteout before. I've driven through some bad whiteouts before. Yeah, me too. Not a two-day whiteout, you know, Armageddon. It just, the blizzard of the century is something you just can't wrap your head around how bad it was until you were out there, you know. And I'm ashamed to say, you know, if you could explain to me how bad it actually was, I would have second guessed it, but I probably would have still went, you know. And I feel like that's what most people did. You know, they didn't know the severity of it. I don't think you can explain to someone the severity of it. And I think now that it's happened, it's something to base off of, you know.
So is there anything new on any documentary or any such thing that you might or might not have been working on?
Me and Frank are still in talks, me and Frank Rossi. Frank Rossi, as you know, an incredible man. You know, and he, it's in his hands, and I'm very loving of him, very trusting of him.
You got to keep us up to date on that situation. Do you, having had a taste of fame and everybody knowing who you are, do you miss it at all, or are you glad to be out of the limelight for the most part?
Don't get me wrong. It is cool to be recognized. You know, I'm very humbled by it, and I try to look at myself as more of a humbled person. But, you know, it is cool to, you know, to know, for people to know your name and know something you did. And the only thing I can hope is that it inspired someone to, you know, if it inspired someone to smile at someone, you know, make someone's day by giving them a smile, that's more enough payment for me. So, I mean, if I can just, you know, give someone the will to, you know, try to do something better someone else's day or help someone else out, then that's all a payment I'll ever need.
Well, I want to thank you, Jay Withey, for calling in. And it's just weird because I literally was just thinking about you within the past couple of hours. Like, you know, I gotta get back in touch with Jay. I know you. We need to go out and sample an alcoholic. I'm sorry, an adult beverage or five. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. And do not forget to stay in touch. And we shall chat.
Absolutely, Tom. I got a lot.
Thank you, Jay.
I'll talk to you. All right. Bye.
Jay Withey, so nice to hear from Jay. And seriously, I literally was just thinking about him this morning. That is the freakiest thing ever. I don't know if I'm sure that's happened to you where, you know, you think about somebody that you might not have thought of for a while and suddenly, I don't know, maybe it's because I was thinking about doing this as a topic. I don't know. 803-0930. I claim no psychic abilities, just so you know. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. What do you remember the most from the blizzard of 22? And what should we have learned? What should our leaders have learned? And I'm sorry, but the county executives, we're going to set up a portal so people know whether they're essential workers or not. That's really lame, and it's unnecessary, and it isn't going to do anything to save lives. And it's almost like a classic deflection technique. Instead of addressing, hey, here is what I could have done better, and we will do it better the next time, It's just a deflection technique, and forget the politics. That doesn't matter. This is about human lives, and it's about leadership of the community. Let's go to Christine in Tonawanda on WBEN. Christine, your recollections, your biggest recollections of the blizzard of 22.
Well, hi. Well, I'll tell you what. I am in the National Talking Books program and magazine subscriptions because of my eyes, and I just received the Reader's Digest. I subscribed to Reader's Digest, issued this last October, and this gentleman that you were just talking to, his name is in the Reader's Digest. The Reader's Digest, I don't think it's been advertised a lot, but they give an award every year to the nicest city in the United States. And they chose Buffalo. And there's a big article about Buffalo, and they chose us as the nicest city in the United States because of what happened here during the storm and how kind we were. And his name and his actions are in that large article in the October issue of Reader's Digest. I just wanted, and I thought that was very nice of them. And, of course, they mentioned a barbershop on Fillmore. And they mentioned how we felt, you know, and worked during the shooting incident here in Buffalo. But it's an excellent article. But his name is in that article, too. I think you should know about it.
Yeah, I remember hearing about the article. I did not read the article, but definitely heard about it. And Christine, as somebody who is, I guess, somewhat visually impaired, what do you recall most from the blizzard of 22?
Well, I also lived through the blizzard of 77, but you're right. Whatever you said today, they should have been cut off at midnight. And it was ridiculous being out there. And of course, there are people like me. You know, we don't have cell phones. If they can notify maybe by cell phone some, they should also use the cell phone, but they should also use regular phones to notify people of danger, you know. Something like that should have been notified. We had that big test about telephones. Yep. There are a lot of people who are handicapped and are not aware of things. They should be also notified by telephone.
Very interesting, like the reverse 911 system that we've all heard so much about. Personally, for you, what do you recall most about the blizzard? Was there any lack of food, lack of essentials, lack of supplies, lack of communication?
Well,
any sense
bit
of being cut off?
I live in a senior citizen complex, and the lights went out. Now, the lights, you know, and they had a generator here, but when the lights went out in the hallway, that's when panic really set in. And they called the firemen, and the firemen, started to come, and they said they would have to take us to another place. And, of course, some of us are handicapped. They didn't feel like taking, you know, handicapped people with their oxygen tanks and stuff. They didn't want to go to, another place. So there was a bit of panic here for a few hours as to what to do, because there was no electricity and no heat in the place. But luckily, it did come back on, but it was cold in here for a while.
Oh, indeed. Christine, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And those oxygen systems that they have, they're somewhat on the heavy side. Some of them are somewhat on the heavy side, and I can't imagine how difficult it would have been to transport people with special medical needs and special medical equipment from one place to another in that kind of a situation. Where, you know, again, I think the scariest part of the blizzard of 22, sitting at this microphone, the scariest part was basically when the law enforcement officials said the 911 system is down. If you have an emergency, we cannot get to you. We can't be on the road. We can't see. That was the scariest part of it all, because you felt totally isolated and alone. And that's why I remember during the broadcast that we did here on WBEN telling people, look, I know that your goal is to get out and shovel the driveway, but don't do it, because God forbid you have a heart attack. And that snow was extremely heavy. I call it quicksand snow. In the event of a heart attack, nobody is going to be able to get to you. So a situation that on a day like today wouldn't be a big deal, relatively speaking, depending on how bad the heart attack was, probably would have been fatal during the blizzard of 22. I think I did hear of some fatalities involving people trying to shovel when they really shouldn't have. And the irony is the snow melted pretty quickly after the storm. Things were green within like 2 weeks. 803-0930, fascinating show, and I want you to be a part of it, because it was a community event. It was a universal event. It's something through which we all lived together. And I have often found that you, the people, have better ideas than the leaders do. And that's not really a slam on leaders, because it's basically the more input you have, I think, the better a response you are going to have in the future. I found that on this show. You guys come up with stuff that I never thought of, that I should have thought of, but that I didn't think of. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It is Bowerly. Welcome to the program, and a lot more to come. I'm so glad we're doing this topic, and I'm so glad that Jay Withey called in, because talk about heroes and inspirations. Man, he sure is one. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. All righty. Now that the break is over with, it is a good time for you to call in at 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And if you're just joining us, basically wanted to do this show. We talked yesterday prior to 6 o'clock with Joe Beamer, who was an integral part of WBEN's Blizzard of 22 coverage. And so I look at the calendar, it is the 15th of December of 2023. And I cannot believe how fast the year has gone by. Quite frankly, it is just it has been a whirlwind in many respects and a blur in other respects. But definitely a very fast-moving year. And I suppose every year that follows will go faster and faster and faster until the end of time. But I cannot believe that it has been almost 1 year since the blizzard of 2022. And I think it's really kind of sad that the best the county executive can do is announce a portal so people can find out if they are essential workers. This seems to me like a colossal waste of money, a colossal waste of time, and utterly unnecessary. If you are an essential worker, I'm pretty sure you know you are an essential worker. And we had a lady calling in saying that she'd heard an ad that restaurant workers were to be considered essential workers. I've been looking around online. I can't find anything about that. So I'm going to have to chalk that up, unless I hear otherwise, to it being erroneous information. But, you know, to this day, if I mention to people, okay, the blizzard of 77. What is your biggest memory of the blizzard of 77? We are absolutely deluged with calls. And here we are in 2023, and we're talking about something that happened almost a year ago. And it's hard to believe, looking out the window now, that almost a year ago, we were swamped by snow and wind and conditions that were basically Arctic conditions, and something that I don't think I'm ever going to forget, ever. And I think that you, the people, probably have better ideas in some cases than the elected leaders on what we do the next time this happens. And I've thought about this so much because, as you know, many of us here at WBEN, we worked a lot of hours on the air trying to disseminate information, talking with local elected officials, local law enforcement people, first responders, etc. And most importantly, I think, talking with people who were stranded in automobiles and had no idea when they were going to be rescued. I remember the calls we took from James. I don't know James's last name off the top of my head, but he is an individual that became one of the voices, basically, not only of WBEN, but a voice of the community during the blizzard of 22. And we had so many people praying and thinking of James and his longtime companion in a car. They didn't know each other prior to the event, but basically being stranded with somebody he did not know. But there are so many memorable events that took place during the blizzard of 22. And what did you learn, and what should the officials have learned from that storm? Because we are almost a year out, and you always have things that you think about right afterward that could have been done differently. And then upon reflection, or the NFL might say, upon further review, there are things that you think of later. You say, wow, that's not a bad idea. So I want to know where your head is. What do you remember the most from the blizzard of 22? What should people have learned, people in general, and what should the leadership of the community have learned? And for me, as far as the leadership is concerned, the biggest problem that I have is everybody knew that it was coming, and they should have, given the information that we had in advance of everything that took place, they should have closed down every road in the region effective midnight on Friday, because the wind started howling about 6-7 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and they were howling loud enough that they woke me up, which, believe me, I don't wake up quite that easily, unless I'm having a nightmare or something. But I don't wake up quite that easily. But the minute you heard the winds, you knew, because they arrived just exactly, pretty much to the minute, when Andy Parker and other meteorologists said they would arrive. And, you know, at what point did you understand? At what point did you realize this was no joke? This storm was the real deal. And I don't have any way to prove this, but I do believe that there were some factors that entered into the roads not being closed. I think that one of the factors was the fact that it was so close to Christmas, and a lot of people had not done Christmas shopping. And I don't think that the elected officials, especially following the pandemic, I don't think they wanted to seem as though they were the Grinch stealing Christmas, because many of us felt as though our lives were put on hold for a couple of years during the pandemic. And we were basically prisoners in our own home during the pandemic. I think the fact that it came so close to the end of the pandemic and the fact that it came so close to Christmas must have played a role in the decision not to close roads earlier. I'm going to call that the Grinch factor. Nobody wanted to steal Christmas, but Mother Nature ended up stealing Christmas. So I think that is definitely something that I think should be learned in the future, whether it's Easter, whether it is Christmas, no matter what holiday it happens to be. If Mother Nature is bearing down on you like a Siberian tiger that is very, very hungry, you need to take steps early to minimize the risk to humans. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I learned many other things, which we'll get into coming up. But here is John in Elma on WBEN. Hello, John.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Yes, sir. Well, it's a Friday, and it was a very fast week. I don't know what it was like listening, but at least doing the show, I can't believe it's Friday already.
Well, I think the biggest problem, and I was telling the other gentleman, I got caught in a snowstorm years earlier, happened around Thanksgiving. But anyway, the biggest problem is they don't let people go home early, even though it's snowing hard. It was snowing hard at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they still wouldn't let us leave. And they wouldn't even let us. They wouldn't let us leave until five. In fact, that's not even early. Around 3 o'clock, it was still coming down, and they didn't give the order to leave.
I don't want you to name the business. Please do not do that, because you're going to get me into trouble. But what kind of business are we talking about?
A mental health clinic.
Okay. And you work at the mental health clinic, I presume?
I did.
Let's put it this way. In what way would it have been a positive for somebody with mental health issues to get stuck in a car in the middle of a blizzard in Western New York in December? That's only going to make the mental health issue worse, especially if you've got somebody who is, you know, has got PTSD or is prone to anxiety.
Well, you know, what's funny, the patients weren't even coming in. The waiting room was empty, you know, but the order had to come from downtown, and the order never came. And when they let us out, everybody was getting let out.
You know, a situation like that, I will tell you, a situation like that, if I believed that my life was in danger, I would simply say, look, you can fire me when this is all over with, but I need to get home. I would have left there at about 9 o'clock on Friday morning. I might not have even gone into work that day.
Well, 9 o'clock, I wasn't doing anything. I ended up getting stuck at the Columbus Hospital overnight. That's when, basically, because it was a gridlock. At a certain point, cars weren't moving. So I ended up getting stuck at the Columbus Hospital, and I spent the night there.
The wind started at roughly 7, depending on where you are, the wind started at roughly 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. The snow started at about 9:30 in the morning, and by 10, 11 o'clock on Friday morning, again, depending on where you are, it was pretty clear that this was a really serious situation and was only going to get worse.
Well, I don't know what time they let people out on the one a year ago, last Christmas, but I'm just saying they don't let people go home. You know, their attitude is, well, I don't know what their attitude is, but they don't tell people, okay, get in your cars and go home.
I wonder how many other people had, are you talking about the blizzard of 22? This is what happened to you then?
No, I'm talking about 1 year earlier. I believe it was
Thanksgiving.
Before 2001. I think it was year 2000, yeah.
Ah, Okay, so you know, so this obviously you don't have any reference point. I was going to say Columbus Hospital. You don't have any reference point for this past blizzard as far as being an employee. Talking about the blizzard of 22 and what you learned, and in light of what our caller said about a previous storm, and when he said Columbus Hospital, I thought I'd entered a time warp there for a moment. But if you were without naming your employer, because that would simply get me into trouble, are you somebody whose employer would not let you go home early in 2022? I can't imagine that being the case, because, I mean, obviously, if you are an essential or emergency worker, you had to be at work, and you know and you knew that you weren't going anywhere. And, you know, I've told the story a million times, because obviously the blizzard of 22 had a profound effect on many of us at the radio station in ways that I can't even begin to talk about. It was absolutely amazing seeing the hours that people put in. And, you know, a lot of times the people who are on the air get a lot of the credit, but people behind the scenes often don't get the credit they deserve. And Jimmy Stelianu was at one point, I think he must have worked 3 or 4 days in a row. It was, I don't think I've ever seen a human being with that much stamina and that much endurance in a blizzard situation. But, you know, when we all came into work, I think we all knew we were there for the duration. I knew on Friday morning. And let's just put it this way. Going into work, I go on the air at 2 o'clock, so I don't exactly leave at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning under normal circumstances. But last year, December 22nd, Friday, the day the blizzard arrived, the blizzard of 22, I had my go bag ready to go, and even remember to bring a comfy pillow on which to rest my head. The only thing I wish I would have brought, some more blankets, because even though we had electricity, we had power, and we had heat at the radio station, we have big windows at the radio station. And some of the rooms, even with the heat, some of the rooms were on the chilly side. And there was one quilt at the radio station that was doing nothing. It was sitting in the corner gathering dust. So I grabbed that, and that became my bedding for several days. But definitely thinking back to stories I'd heard from other broadcasters from many, many years ago, about 1977, I realized that, okay, what do I need? I need some fresh shirts, some fresh well, be honest with you, some fresh sweatpants, because I knew it was going to be very casual during the blizzard of 22. Obviously, plenty of underwear and all of those kinds of essentials. You know, heart medications, everything that you would possibly need, everything that would ordinarily go in the carry-on bag and going on a trip that you just simply cannot afford to be without, that was in the bag. It took me 2 or 3 trips to make it to the broadcast location. But the first thing I did when I got into work was I called up Tim Wenger, and I assured him, hey, I am here. I'm here for the duration. Everything is good to go. And it was I was so glad that I had come when I did, because in 2022, and again, a lot of it depends on where you were. And you remember watching the maps of the bands of lake effect snow that we had, and looking out of the radio station windows by roughly 10 o'clock in the morning, it became very, very clear that everything that meteorologist Andy Parker had talked about was actually coming to fruition. And I must tell you that even after our many conversations with Andy Parker, I was still awestruck by the magnitude of the snowstorm that hit us almost 1 year ago. It was so intense, the never-ending wind, the never-ending snow, and the lack of visibility. And there were so many times I can remember people on the air, Joe Beamer, myself, and everybody, Pasquale Maggiore, everybody who was here was commenting on the fact that we cannot even see from our radio station windows. We can't see the building next door. That's how bad it was. And for some people, it was difficult even by the time they got in, it was difficult to even access the radio station and to get through the parking lot. And there are a lot of people who spent a lot of time digging their cars out of the snow. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Bad time to call would be now. Good time to call would be about 4 minutes after four as the break is coming to an end. But what do you remember most? Your personal story of the blizzard of 2022. Your personal story. What did you learn? What do you believe our elected officials should have learned from the blizzard of 22? Because every event, every tragedy leaves behind lessons in its wake. And I think it's a good time to talk about those lessons, because even though it's hard to believe, looking out the windows right now, it was absolutely, it was awful. It was absolutely awful in so many ways. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, wait a few minutes and then give us a call as the news at 4 is winding up on News Radio 930 WBEN.